Blog Talk Radio.
You can see it. You ever have this happen? This is how confusing it is. This is the practical application of what I'm talking about. Like a guy be out, this happened to a lot of guys. You be out at a club, all right, he's kicking with your boys, and a girl walks by, and man, she looks good. She looks good. Not good in that classical way. I mean, you know, I'm talking good, like she got half her ass hanging out her skirt. Her titties are all mashed together, popping out the top of her turtleneck and shit. And you with your buddies, right? You with your buddies, you got a couple drinks in you, and you see a girl like this, you might try to talk to her. This might not come out right. I don't know what you say, but damn, look at them titties! The girl gets mad at you. Oh, wait a minute. Just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a whore. Which is true. Gentlemen, that is true. Just because they dress a certain way doesn't mean they are a certain way. Don't ever forget it. But ladies, you must understand that that is fucking confusing. Just is. Now that would be like me, Dave Chappelle the comedian, walking around the streets in a cop uniform. Somebody might run up on me. Ah! Thank God. Officer, help us. Come on, they're over here. Help us! I'm like, oh! Just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a police officer. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, all right, lady, fine. You are not a whore. But you are wearing a whore's uniform. I'll tell you that for sure.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good afternoon, folks. Listen, your calendars are not incorrect. It is Tuesday, and we are AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. The reason why we are doing a special Tuesday broadcast is simply we are expecting a legend to grace our program. You know her as NC Light, a.k.a. Lana Moore. She's, again, a icon, a hip-hop icon, and we were very fortunate enough to have her come through our show. We have a lot to talk about with her, and actually, Captain, I'm going to have you come in because I'm having problems with my board. So, Captain, come on in if you can.
Shazam, or if you like better, Amazing Spider-Man. There you have it. Let's get it started.
Yeah, again, we're expecting Ms. MC Light to grace our program. I wanted to have her on because simply, folks, the hip-hop industry, the hip-hop image, male and female, is in dire straits. And the captain and myself, we grew up with Ms. Light, and she is to be respected, and she also reminds us of what's missing current day. We're not seeing the level of musicianship, the level of lyricism in today's music. So, you know, I'm not really afraid to talk about what's happening today. But that's not the only reason why we have her on here to talk about hip-hop. Actually, she's the founder of Hip Hop Sisters Network. Again, folks, Hip Hop Sisters Network. Google it. Check out the website. Very important. She's going to talk about that. She has a book that's also out. A lot to get into. She does quite a few acting gigs, quite a few voiceover work. And also, let's just go down her hits. I mean, she has songs forever. Cha-Cha-Cha, Poor Georgie, I Cram to Understand, Cole Rock the Party. I mean, she's done it all. She's done a lot of music. So she is to be respected, and we are expecting her momentarily. Again, folks, you're listening to Afronerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Don't be scared. Feel free to give us a buzz. And you are listening to us on a Tuesday. Normally we're on Wednesday and on Sunday, but because we have this special guest, we have Afronerd on Tuesday. Maybe we might start something new with this time, Captain. You know
what you say to me is still paper thin.
Yeah. Which is another hit, actually. Another, she has plenty of hits, Captain.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. You know what, Captain? Speaking of paper thin, you know what? Can you type in paper thin on the board, because I'm having problems actually. We do have some of Ms. Light's music for your listening pleasure. You might want to go into that for a few moments.
Let's see what happens here. Yes, you got it right here.
Okay, go ahead, and I'll see if I can phase it out if need be. Go to paper thin.
When you say you love me, it doesn't matter. It goes into my head as just chit chatter. You may think it's egotistical or just very free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I'd let you pretend to read me, and then you'd know. Cause I hate when one attempts to analyze. Back out of five, don't you even try to look into my eyes to see what I am thinking. That dream is over, your yacht is sinking. I tell all of you, like I told all of them, what you say to me is just paper thin. To try to play a man out, I take the money and again then break the hell out. No, that's not my strategy, not the game I play. I admit I play a game, but it's not done that way. Truly, when I get involved, I give it my heart. I mean, my mama sold my body, I mean, every part. But if it doesn't work out, yo, it just doesn't. It wasn't meant to be, you know, it just wasn't. So I treat all of you like I treat all of them, and what you say to me is still paper thin. In one ear and right out the other, hurdles mumble jumble. Lover, I don't pay attention, I don't concentrate. You ain't got the bait that it takes to hook this. Fucker, you missed. I put feelings aside. I know who I am. My name is Light. Is your name Sam? Cause if it is, step off, grab your coat and get lost. Wrap your scarf around your throat and go back and catch the boat and hit the road, Sam. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Sam. Don't you come back no more.
Okay, folks, we're back again. That was Paper Thin by the great, legendary MC Light. I think this is the young lady now. Let's check in. My board is working correctly, and my apologies for that, by the way. Captain, do you have the boards? I think this is Ms. Light. You have it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Light? Hello? Hello? MC Light? 404? It should be working, Captain. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Caller, 404.
Oh, this is an NC Light. I'm a listener.
Oh, this is it? Oh, okay. All right. We're expecting. But listen, any questions? We are expecting Ms. Light, but I'm assuming you are a supporter or a fan of Ms. Light?
Oh, yes. I'm a devout listener. I still have the True School CD in my car, and I drop those lyrics like crazy. So I'm just looking forward to the interview. Just put it this way. I have a homie, and he's addicted to Starbucks, and so I just have to say to him, why, oh, why did I drink cappuccino?
I suspect you are a real fan. And listen, the funny thing is that even as male, there's a whole thing of classic hip hop that if you're a male, you might not be able to admit that you listen to female MCs. But at that time, MC Light can hold her own.
Oh yeah,
I can't speak
right
for today.
That.
I can't speak for today's hip hop, but for classic hip hop, MC Light, Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepper, they were in my roster because they were that good. You didn't think of them as not being able to bring it like their male counterpart. So she is to be respected. And we miss her.
Yes.
She's needed. She is sorely needed. I'm going to put you on hold for a moment. Let's see if I can get her because unless there's some crossing of the wires, Captain, she should have called in already. So hold on one moment, miss.
Okay.
Okay, you know what, Captain, let's, if you can, go to yet another, because there's plenty, go to another hit of MC Light's, and I'll try to see if I can make a much-needed phone call.
All right. Let's see what we got.
All right.
Tell you this bored boy.
Type in MC Light. There's plenty that's up there. She has plenty.
All right, let's go with this. MC Light, Bad Boy Remix.
From VAA, and I be smoking hay all day in the barn, damn it, darn.
Puff Daddy be my pal when I hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah.
I took your number one spot, I don't skip, then I hop. I'm so hot, so you can't forget me, not to the yes, yes, y'all. I'ma take a pause, cause I be feeling myself like I was T-Ball. Puff Daddy make him cream, the L-Y-T to the E make him scream. And I'ma show enough be the boss on this team. So all you MCs, how Mr. makes it green.
I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. Body, body, JD.
That's right.
That's me, complicated rap star, meet like the MC. You see, I'm on to your baby and your mechanism. How you hit it when you're in it so hot to keep it sizzling. No ooh, ah, she ooh. And all of that too, keep me wetted in the waters of Kalamazoo. Who you come in with, where your posse at? I leave the boys alone, tell her you won't be back. I got the cheese, baby, my cheddar's better. I got that milk, so that I'm a redder. Trust you, me, I'll blow up shop. Have a little nick calling the cops, watch. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. Body. You rock the party that rocks the body, body, body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Upside down, you turning me, round and round, you turning me.
I rock the party that rocks the body. That rocks the body.
Okay, we're back once again. That was Cold Rock a Party by MC Light. And I would suspect you recognize Sean P. Diddy Combs in the background. That was his production, I believe, as well as was Missy Elliott involved in it as captain?
Yes, she was.
I think
yes,
so.
She was.
Right. That's probably one of the few records I liked that had a P. Diddy stamp of approval on it. So, again, you have a heavyweight like MC Light on a P. Diddy production, and it gets over. You know, it gets over. So, I one of my favorite jams, definitely one of my favorite writing jams. Folks, again, you're listening to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. We're already 15 minutes into the show, and unfortunately, I don't hear anything from MC Light. I sent a message to her people. I called directly, and listen, these things happen. Very rarely do they happen. We've had some heavyweights, Captain, and 90% of the time, it goes off without a hitch. On occasion, wires get crossed, people forget, something else comes up. I'm sure we will have her on at a later date. So, folks, we'll let you know. We'll really make sure. But we made our attempt. We spoke to her people. It was supposed to go down. I think she was actually did the voiceover work for the recent BET Awards. I believe that actually was her voice. Her voice is pretty recognizable. So we'll have her back. You know, it's unfortunate, but these things do happen. You know, I do want to segue into something else, Captain. Actually, part of the reason, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, was just the state of hip-hop and the fact that and it's what some of the questions I was going to ask Ms. Light, centered around just what happened to the female MC. I mean, just what happened. You know, during the classic hip-hop period, it wasn't uncommon to have a number of females involved in the hip-hop industry, hip-hop artists, lyricists. Now, it seems like we only see Nicki Minaj. Why do you think that is?
Well, you have to remember, during that time, it was a lot easier also to market, promote, and bring a female out on a tour. Now when a female goes out, because it's more or less pop-orientated, when she goes out on a tour, she has to have two hairstylists, she has to have a makeup artist, she has to have everything going with her. If you're a man just going out on tour, he just throws on a T-shirt, some new sneakers, you know, he has a little bit of security, and he goes out on tour. You have that aspect with it. Everything is just, to do a woman, it's a lot more money that a company has to put into it. And also behind the scenes also, too, the powers that be, they just necessarily don't necessarily want to push that. During that time, you had a lot of different female artists doing different things. You had Salt and Pepper, you had MC Light, you had Antoinette, you had Queen Latifah, you had Moni Love. Everybody was different. No one sounded the same. Now if a female comes along, they all have to be talking about, you know, popping their breasts, this, that, and whatever. Just talking a bunch of nonsense. That's ultimately what it is. So it's an entirely different game when the big companies get into it. And, you know, it just costs a lot more money. It's an entirely different thing from what it was then. And in my opinion, those artists that I mentioned back in those times, you know, everything was a lot more talented. It was more lyrically based. They had their own identity. They were doing their own thing. It was just a much better time, you know. Once the corporations get involved with it, it becomes very cookie cutter in the way you have to do it, you know. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Now, I'm not sure, maybe the expense has something to do with it. I'm not absolutely sure about that. I think, unfortunately, women in entertainment are just expendable. This goes across the board. You know, in acting, there's a time limit on a woman, more so than a man. You know, you can be 60 years old and still be a leading man in the entertainment industry. Whereas a female, I mean, you know, you're kind of, you know, once you hit 30, it's like Logan's Run. There's concerns. So I just think that the gender aspect of it has a lot to do with it. I think that as time has gone on, certain aspects of hip-hop have become expendable. The gender part of it has become expendable. The, as you alluded to, the plurality, the different types of hip-hop has been expendable. During MC Light's emergence, during the late 80s, early 90s, people forget, so I have to sometimes stop and actually think about just how much diversity there was. Matter of fact, I was going to ask this of her when she, and she'll come, we will have her on the show. But I was going to ask her, and this is to you also, Captain. I remember when C. Dolores Tucker, you know, the famed civil rights activist, God bless her soul, she has since passed. But she made it her mission, her personal campaign, to root out minstrelsy and some of the more negative aspects of hip-hop 15, 20 years ago. But, you know, the way hip-hop is today, I had to honestly sit back and say, well, what was her beef back then? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I remember I was somewhat with her at that point. You know, there were some negative things going on in the let's say early 90s. There were some things going on. And I understood where Ms. Tucker was coming from. I understood it, so I wasn't against what she was trying to do. But compared to then, to where we are now, I mean, back, you know, 20 years ago, you had a number of high-profile female MCs, not just one. You had a number. You had different types of hip-hop going on. You didn't necessarily have the hip-hop artists themselves mixing it up. You didn't hear anything about Drake and Chris Brown in a club getting at each other. This even predates Tupac and Biggie when she was really at her height. So, it really makes you wonder, what was her beef compared to where we are now? I mean, really, isn't it kind of amazing?
Well, maybe she had one She might have had a crystal ball, that's one. And maybe two at the given time. Hip-hop was a little too radical for some folk. It wasn't conservative enough for some people, you know. But maybe she did have a crystal ball to see what it was about to become. She wanted to get at it at its early stages so it wouldn't develop into what it did. You know, we had incredible records. Not to go off on a tangent, but it's tangentially related, but I'm talking about a male artist now. We had groups like Public Enemy. And you had the white audience buying these records. They didn't really know what they was buying. But the meme was, you know, the meme was developing. Fight the power. You know, Elvis was a hero to most. You know, listen to what these individuals were saying. It was very radical music at the time. Very radical. So, you know, some people, you know, did not really feel comfortable with that. Really didn't feel. They started listening to the lyrics and everything else. I thought it was very empowering personally. But, you know, some people just had a problem with it.
Yeah, what you were intimating, and I think about this quite a bit because music is always on my mind. You know, at the same time, you had MC Lyte, you had Public Enemy, as you just mentioned, you had X-Clan, you had Digital Underground, you had Will Smith. At that point, he was a Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff Fresh Prince. I mean, you had all these... Ice Cube, N.W.A., you name it. You had all these people, all these different types, De La Soul, all these different types of hip-hop coexisting at the same time. Now, let's really get into this for a moment. We're gonna segue. Again, folks, you're listening to Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Unfortunately, our guest is persona non grata, but we will try our best to get her back on once again. I'm assuming some wires were crossed. We're talking about legendary hip-hop artist, MC Lyte. But, you know, all these things are going on at the same time, Captain. All these different types were allowed to exist. And something I would have asked Ms. Lyte was, would you even think that a song like Self-Destruction, which she was a part of, could you even do a Self-Destruction in 2012? Would it be controversial to do that in 2012? Some of the things that were done 15, 20, 25 years ago, the landscape is so different. I think they might be construed as being actually controversial in 2012. You can't do a Self-Destruction, and you're not allowed to have a certain degree of diversity in 2012, I think we actually had it right 20 years ago. We had it right. And now we're nowhere near where we were 20 years ago. We were more progressive with our music 20 years ago than we are now. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You would have to call it, you couldn't call it self-destruction. You have to call it reconstruction because based on what has happened, they destroyed themselves already. So now you have to build back up. So it would have to be reconstruction. You couldn't put out self-destruction at this given point. Reconstruction, that's what it would have to be. So I wholeheartedly agree with you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right, you know what? Listen, we're still going to play MC Lyte music in her absence. So what I want you to do, because my board is screwing up, we'll try to get this rectified by Sunday's show. If you could play another tune, another Jammy Jam, if you could do the search on that, just put in MC Lyte. When we get back, we were actually able to see the latest iteration, the latest incarnation of Spider-Man. So we want to talk about Spider-Man. This is the Afro-Nerd Show, so we're going to talk about all things, whether it's urban alternative music, classic hip-hop, politics, science, sci-fi, comic books, comic book movies, you name it, a show like Afro-Nerd, this is what we do. So don't be shocked. We will talk about The Amazing Spider-Man, the latest reboot. But I want to play some MC Lyte music. Anything, Captain. Again, apologies to our audience for the show. You know, but the show must go on. But unfortunately, I can't get to my board to operate this thing properly, so I'm going to have to rely on the Captain. No luck, Captain? You know what? While he is looking for a jammy jam, again, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the time is 4:30 p.m., feel free to give us a buzz anyway. We're talking about all subject matter, so to speak. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I do want to talk about, about Spider-Man, the latest iteration of Spider-Man, latest reboot. I suspect after the showing, the Captain was a little bit cool on it. I love this geek stuff, so anything that comes out on the screen, I'm going to like it to some degree, unless it completely sucks. Let me repeat that. Unless it completely sucks, I'm probably going to give it 2 stars, maybe 3. I enjoyed myself. But full confession time. The Avengers, which came out in May, was so over the top. I think that movie took the breath out of subsequent comic book movies for this year. I just believe that. Walking in to these movies, you say, this is going to be good, but it's no Avengers. Avengers set the bar so high that I suspect that it might have ruined future comic book franchises. I just had that feeling. Because, you know, it's only one hero. You see him doing the same, he has the same power set. Dealing with the Avengers, you got 4, 5, 6 heroes going on. It's too much eye candy for stimulation purposes. But having said that, this was a pretty good successor to the Tobey Maguire films. I will admit that. It's a pretty good successor to their films. But nevertheless, I wouldn't mind seeing, and let's talk about this, folks, that you might actually see a Spider-Man appearing in the latest Avengers. You might, in the next iteration, the next sequel, that might happen. They're going to need to look into that. For those who are not in the know, unfortunately, before Marvel became this power song, you know what? Folks, it looks like we might have run out of MC Light songs. I thought we had – how many songs did we play, Captain? 2 or 3? I think I have him on mute. Hold on. Let me bring Captain back in. I did that by accident. Sorry about that, folks. Captain.
Yes, sir.
How many songs did we play? We played 2, right?
We played 2.
There should be 3 there.
Yeah, there's 3 there, but it's a remix of the other one. It's the same song.
Well, what do you see there? It should be Paper Thin.
It's the same song.
Cha-Cha-Cha should be. Oh. All right, you know what? Play one. Did you see, you got Heavy D, right?
Yes, sir.
The late Heavy D, one of her colleagues. Play Heavy D, and we'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Cooling in my crib and I'm cold, maxing. Call up a cutie, I'm in the mood for relaxing. Get my phone book from top of the shelf, I dial 616. I better keep it to myself. Call up a cutie with a triple star next to it. She says hello, we conversate a bit. Invite her over for a candlelight dinner. Believe me when I tell you that this girlie is a winner. Shortly after that, I hear the doorbell ring. Turn on the radio, Anita Baker starts to sing. Open up the door and I kiss her on the cheek. She's so nice, polite, pretty, so sweet. Sit her on the couch and I remove her coat. Squat next to her, clear my throat. Whisper in her ear, tell her what she wants to hear. Let her know to have no fear. Heavy D's here. And girls, they love me.
He's the old way of a Heavy D.
Girls, they love me. My hand, walk with me. I'm the imperial, overweight lover, MC Heavy D. Now that have introduced myself correctly. Do you have a moment to spend some time with me? Would you like a drink, maybe a pina colada, a strawberry daiquiri, some wine from Havana? It really doesn't matter, the choice is yours. And when you're through with your drink, we'll take a walk outdoors. Gaze at the stars, walk down the boardwalk, sit by the beach and talk lovers talk. Make a quick call on my cellular phone and bubble limousine to pick us up and take us home. Ah, an enjoyable night. The mood was smooth and everything was alright. It may be hard for you, but it's easy for me. Cause girls, the girls, the girls, they love me.
Girls, the girls, they love me. Girls, the girls, they love me. Girls, the girls, they love me. Girls, the girls, they love me.
Me, Glenn, and Troy went to a disco.
Word.
Pete Rock and Steel Smooth was on stage drinking Cisco. Damien had his girl Michelle.
Of course.
Craig Boogie had a girl that I never seen before.
Hey.
Eddie F was home making a beat. Nick T was at the crib on 120 Shell Street. Tootie had a cutie that was dope.
Damn.
Groovy Lou, Quan, and Little Dow was cracking dope. Grap had the dance floor packed. Joe Black was in the corner looking mean and he was strapped. Tommy George, Jeff, and Butter was on the spot. Buying champagne for the crew, $100 a pop. Me, I was casing the joint. Clocking all the people as they stared and point. It feels really good to be Heavy D. Because the girls, they love me.
Girls, they love me.
He's the old man of a Heavy D.
Girls, they love me.
He's the old man of a Heavy D.
Girls, the girls, they love me.
Okay, we're back. Once again, that was Heavy D, Overweight Lover, and he is missed. When you hear that song, you realize the talent and just what hip-hop, classic hip-hop was all about. And I'll tell you something, Captain. You know, when you listen to that song, you realize that we may never get that back again. You know, you realize that he was still a relatively young person, and you just can't take for granted that these artists, our favorite artists, are always going to be around. So he is missed. He is missed. And it's funny that I don't want to just keep on defecating on today's landscape, but there is, I guess things are supposed to be different, but not worse. Maybe better, maybe improvement, maybe better lyricism. I guess someone would argue with me that today's hip-hop is better. I don't really see it. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. But be that as it may, folks, again, you're listening to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We had Ms. MC Light, icon, legendary hip-hop artist, legendary hip-hop lyricist. She was scheduled to appear this afternoon. Unfortunately, it appears that some wires were crossed, some emails were not returned, what have you. These things do happen. We're not going to hold that against her. I'm sure we will get her on most definitely. But the show must go on. We are professionals, so these things do happen. And to be honest with you, Captain, it rarely happens. It rarely happens. But if it does, you have to be prepared for these things. So it is what it is. Before the break, I was talking about Spider-Man. Now, you saw Spider-Man as well, and you were a little cool about it. You're harder to please than I am. Tell the audience your opinion on Spider-Man. What was it that they had right? What was it that they had wrong?
Well, essentially, we've seen, before this installment, we've seen three Spider-Mans already. You had one, two, and three already. I never liked three. I thought that was a waste, okay? I thought it was a money grab. I didn't like two. One I thought was a good movie, Spider-Man 1. This movie here, it's a reboot. It's, from my perspective, being that we've seen so much Spider-Man already, it wasn't a bad movie, it was just okay. It's also, from my perspective, it's a money grab. It's a money grab. They put in the special effects and everything else. I just thought it was okay. There wasn't really anything much more that they really can do with it from, you know, the whole Spider-Man perspective at this given time. I think in Spider-Man 1, there was better interaction between, you know, Spider-Man and his quote-unquote girlfriend than this time around. Even though this is like supposed to be a different universe and everything else. You know, I just got the overall vibe all right. Normally, when I go into these movies, my intuition tells me ahead of time how good the movie is going to be. I knew it wasn't going to be a bomb. It's like when I went to see Green Lantern, I knew it wasn't going to be that good. You know, I just felt that going in. Sometimes that changes, but most of the time I'm right. And I went to this movie figuring, yeah, it's going to be all right. Let's see if it could get raised up. You know, on my scale, you know, from 1 to 10 scale, I give the movie a 6. If it was a 7, it's a must-see. You know, I expect Batman, even though it's a different universe, that's DC. And I'm not a DC guy, but I expect Batman to be at least a 7, a must-see type of movie. Here's the next thing, too. When you release 25 minutes of the movie online, and then also it's in 3D, normally says the movie doesn't have that much chops. That's what it says a lot of times, you know, from my perspective. You know, Batman, thus far, you really don't know what is really going on too much with Batman. But let's just see. Let's just see. Batman seems to be just going to be a much more heavier movie, just going to be better. This was okay. This was just all right. That's it. I'm not going to beat the movie up. You know, I do like Spider-Man to a certain extent. I do like the character. I do like the comic book. So I'm not going to beat up Spider-Man. I know people are used to hearing me beat up movies, but I'm not going to beat this movie up. It's an all right movie. That's overall perspective. Back over to you, Seraph on Earth.
Yeah, you know, I think what really hurt this film is that the other films were just, as far as time is concerned, they were just in too close proximity to this one being made. You know, because initially they were going to go into a Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire, and then something happened. They scratched it. I think maybe Maguire was asking for too much money or something went down, and then they decided, forget that, let's just reboot it. So I think the time span, you know, if you're going to reboot something, I think like even with the Batman franchise, no, it was a clear reboot. I guess my problem is also with the film is that there were some things they got right in the sense of what we're accustomed to in the story. I mean, Gwen Stacy, not to give too much away, I mean, we know that Mary Jane Watson is supposed to be Spider-Man's eventual paramour. In this film, it was Gwen Stacy, which is accurate to the comic. Gwen Stacy first, then Mary Jane Watson. So there's some things that they did were very close to the original script. And actually, it makes you wonder why the first films were not done this way. That was something that was, I remember, you know, to the real super geeks out there, to the real super nerds who are familiar with the mythos of Spider-Man, they were like, you know, why did they have to change things around? So they changed things around in the first three films, and now we're back, it's been rebooted, and it's pretty close to the cuff as to how it's supposed to be. But my whole thing is, and I mentioned this to you earlier, there have been, I don't know, close to 30 sequels to the James Bond franchise. They don't keep on rebooting James Bond necessarily. They're not doing that. It's more like, okay, let's just continue with the story that we already know. So that's a problem I think these superhero films are going to have. You can't keep on going back to the origin every 7 to 10 years. And that's what it seems like. It seems like they're stuck there. In the comics, these stories just continue. They go off on a tangent sometimes. They may go left, right, and maybe they might revisit the origin for a moment, but then they continue moving forward. These films have a habit of constantly having to retell the story. With this new Superman that's coming out in 2013, it looks like they're going to have to retell his story again. Between the comic books, for Superman specifically, the comic books, the TV shows, Smallville, the radio serials, the cartoons, everyone on the face of this earth pretty much knows Superman's origin. You do not need to retell that damn story over again. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do it anyway. That's what's going to kill these movies on some level. Stop retelling the same story. So there was a little bit of that going on with the film. But as far as what it looked like graphically, what it looked like visually, it was pretty stunning. The first Spider-Man film I thought was done pretty well. I don't know. Would you say there was a step up, or is it negligible? You know, because sometimes as time goes on, you know, the CGI is supposed to improve. I mean, as is life. Technology gets better. Was there really any discernible difference between the first film technologically and this film?
It's a step up. This was definitely a step up. Definitely. I noticed that right away. That was definitely a step up from the first film.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think so, but it wasn't so glaring, though. The first one was pretty good for what, you know, I mean, it really wasn't, you know, it did pretty well. It wasn't like... Or even George Reeves and Christopher Reeves, you know, that 25 year span between films, you can glaringly see the difference in technology. But anyway, folks, listen, go see the film. Don't just take our word for it. It's worthy of looking at. My only qualm with it is, you know, I'm not so sure if we need to go into another reboot after this. Like once we get another 3 or 4 films out of this arc with this new actor, are we going to reboot this in 2020? I'm just asking. I'm wondering, will we reboot it again 2020? I hope not. I think people pretty much know how this young man got his powers. Let's move on. Let's just continue going. Now, something else I want to talk about, Captain. We only have about 12 minutes remaining. I want to talk about the BET Awards. Now, in all fairness, some of these award shows bore me. They just don't seem to garner the level of excitement that they did for me many years ago. It was a time that I had to see the MTV Movie Awards, the MTV Music Awards, Soul Train, MTV, BET. It seems like there was a time like when James Brown performed with Michael Jackson briefly. That was a spectacle. I think we're missing the spectacle. Am I hallucinating on that? I know Chris Brown performed. I know that Sissy Houston, who was, of course, the mother of the late Whitney Houston, she performed. D'Angelo did a fairly good job after returning from a rather lengthy hiatus around 12 years, first time he's hit a U.S. stage. So there was some things going on that I liked, but for the most part, the spectacle is missing. What's up with that? Or am I getting older?
Wow, you're getting very nostalgic today. It must be. This is Nostalgic Tuesday. Well, listen, I wholeheartedly agree with you, but we have to remember, in those days, you didn't get to see the artists as much. So an award show was a chance for some of these artists to showcase their talents, and also for us to see the actual artists. These are their videos everywhere. They tweet the pictures up here. They're doing everything all over the place. They always, this is on the internet. Everything, they're all over the place now. So who cares? That's the reality of it. Who cares? In those days, you had just, you were listening. Okay? You had a lot of the music that you would hear. If you got the opportunity to go to a show, you saw them. You know, maybe there was some videos floating around for some of these artists. But for most part, this was a chance for you to see them or see them even in a different light to get somewhat emotionally attached to the artist. So it was a much bigger event. Now it's like, so what? Yeah, you're on BET Awards. So what? Who cares? Nice. Collect your award. Nice day. You know, put the next album out. Good. Shake your hand. Keep it moving. So entirely different thing. Very cookie cutter. You know? Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like I'm lamenting for, you know, the times of old. I don't want to come off like that. Because, listen, we play new music here also. I mean, it just so happened we play quite a few classic hip-hop joints. We do try to impart to our audience new, different music. Let me repeat that. We do play urban alternative music here. That must be emphasized. You know, we will play Janelle Monáe. We do play Nicki Lynette, the other Nicki, by the way. Nicki Lynette is another artist. As well as the classic artists, and, you know, we play everything. Literally, we play everything. Everything, especially that conventional radio refuses to play. But I'm not going to be a liar and tell our audience that, you know, when I peruse YouTube and I'm looking at some of the classic performances, that there just seems to be a discernible difference between the level of talent. I mean, listen, of course my boy is Prince. I'm going to always talk about him. But also I saw a legendary performance of Stevie Wonder with Ray Charles performing Living for the City, one of Stevie Wonder's hits. I can go through a whole litany of even the classic hip-hop, or even Janelle Monáe, who I really love. Janelle Monáe is a newer artist. There seems to be a level of talent few and far between that would leave the stage burning. And it seems like I think the audience pretends, honestly, Captain. I think they pretend. I saw the performance with D'Angelo. He performed Untitled for a few moments, and then he went into a new song, a newer song. But here you have a musician. So you're not having a DAP machine in the background. You're not having sequence dance, you know, dancers in sequence. You have musicianship there. You have feeling. You have soul. And I don't think I'm asking for too much to see these same things 21st century style. When I see Chris Brown dancing around, I get absolutely no soul. No soul. And soul music is supposed, I mean, it's very light. You know, it's very light. It's not emotional. It's robotic. And then everybody's screaming. What are you screaming for? So when D'Angelo hit the stage, I could see, and I'm a very keen observer of character, Captain. And I'm looking at Beyonce. I'm looking at other artists. I'm looking at other audience members while he's performing, not only because of him returning back to the scene. And people miss their artists. You know, they wanted him to come back. So he came back. But when he, you know, when he's screaming, when he's emoting, you saw how these people, they weren't fronting. So when the real artist comes on, I think people know. And I think that, you know, the heads are bobbing, you know, they're gritting their teeth, they're really feeling it. Do they really feel that with Chris Brown? Really? I'm just keeping it 100. But we have to pretend. You know, I'm tired of people pretending that this man, you know, he's moderate. You know, Kanye's moderate. The whole Nicki Minaj is moderate. I'm being kind by saying moderate. They're moderate. Sissy Houston was singing about her daughter. I mean, obviously, it's going to be emotional. But you can feel some stuff. Valerie Simpson of Nick Asher, of Asher and Simpson. Legendary pianist, legendary songstress. Old school, for the lack of a better term. I don't like using the term old school, but for this particular discussion, let's say old school, let's say classic. When she emotes, when Chaka Khan emotes, in the African-American tradition, you feel it. When I see Rihanna, when I see Chris Brown, when I see Wiz Khalifa, these people, I see zombies, just robots. Why doesn't anybody? No one's talking about this. I think it's amazing, and a great deal of profanity. Again, there was a lot of things to discuss during this broadcast. It was a lot of it had to do with honoring. Nick Ashford passed on, as well as Whitney Houston. So, you had some heavyweights in the audience. You had a lot of things to talk about that were of a somber nature, and profanity is. As a matter of fact, Yolanda Adams even spoke up and said, we need to do better. We need to kind of tone things down. The world is watching you. She said, she said some things. She said some things, Captain. Trying to tell the audience, people are looking. We need to clean ourselves up a little. Maybe we need to tone down the vulgarity. But the vulgarity continued, Captain. People continued to be vulgar. They couldn't tone it down. A lack of class. Classlessness. Let me repeat that to our audience. Classlessness. What is going on? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a hater, Captain. Maybe I'm just a hater. That's what they're going to tell me. That my observations, you can look this up in print, too. I'm not the only one talking about this. There's nothing, something else I forgot to mention to our audience. I remember Prince received an award a few years ago, and Stevie Wonder presented the award to him. I believe this might have been maybe 2000, 99, 2000. I believe it might have been the NAACP Awards, or it might have been the Essence Awards. That's where they have some degree of class on those shows, by the way. Somebody has some sense when they put those shows together. Anyway, he accepts an award by an equally talented artist, another icon. And he says to Stevie, as a colleague, we were scared when you put out an album. He says, we were scared when you put out an album, because we knew we had a fight on our hands, that you're going to put out some real stuff. It's going to be something. And he said, also, you made us proud to be black. And I didn't pay attention. I thought it was a pretty nice thing for him to say that he said, you made all of us proud to be black. And I didn't think about it at the time that deeply. For some reason, in the last couple of months, I replayed that statement over and over again. And I remember that Stevie Wonder did make me – I had other things, my parents, the culture at the time. But Stevie Wonder did make me – was one of many elements that made me proud to be black, that you could go to the music and as a mirror, it would reflect black pride. Doesn't exist right now. Nicki Minaj does not reflect black pride to me. Maybe she's not supposed to. Public Enemy did. But Nicki Minaj, no. Not with that hair hat that she wears, no. the blonde hair hat, no. That's not working. I see we got about a minute remaining, folks. I will pontificate on this perhaps at a later date, but I have to give kudos for Stevie Wonder. I had to remember that his songs – and what he represented did make me proud to be black. This landscape, Chris Brown doesn't make me proud to be black. No. No. I think there's something wrong with that. Something, the Isley Brothers, they did. OJs, they did. Whatever. folks. You're listening to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. We've got about a minute or less remaining. We will try to get MC Light back again at a later date. Our apologies for that, but these things do happen. Any closing remarks, Captain?
Go see Spider-Man. Go check it out.
All right. I think I might be able to get our boards up. Folks, we'll do it again Sunday for the Week in Review show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks again.
Do it soon, right away, right now, in love, all the way live.